Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Big Sad Fun, a sports podcast. My name is James Johnson, and I'm here with my co-host,
Edward Dickey. Did you forget the name of the podcast there for a second?
For just a second. You know, I do a couple of these, and once in a while, I forget which one I'm doing.
It happens. I get it.
Well, hello, and we're back after a little hiatus.
So, you know, coaching football takes up a lot of time, it also takes up... takes up very specific time, and that time is the time that you're free.
That is our sweet podcasting time, but now you're freed up. Before we get into our thing today, how did the season go for you guys?
We won two games, tied another one. We beat our rivals twice, so that's always good.
All right.
The last game of the year was probably one of the best games I've ever been involved in.
Okay.
I'm not going to walk y'all through it, but we won on a last-minute safety.
That is amazing.
Holding in the end zone.
That's great.
It was awesome. But yeah, it was a good season, you know.
Well, like my grandmother used to say, as long as you beat the Redskins twice, you had a good year.
Exactly. We beat Lovett twice.
There you go. Boom.
Let's
get into our big. The Atlanta Braves are not only in the playoffs, but they won the division since last time we talked.
Man, it has been a while.
Yeah.
You know, I will say that was a lot. That was some of the most fun I've had watching baseball. Was watching that coming.
It really was a lot of fun.
Like
I found myself watching and following it. And I don't even really care that much about the Braves, although I'm starting to a little bit. It's starting to rub off
fun.
On me.
Going to games is fun, and when Indeed. You have fun going to games, you start to like the team.
Yeah,
right. But you know, it's and I mean, as much as it pains me to do it, the Mets had a good year, and
they gave
us a good run. But you know that series at home that we had, it was what everybody kept pointing to all year long,
and it turns out it was right.
Everyone's like, that's gonna be a big series, and it was even like, it doesn't really matter because we have those three games at the end. It's like, guys, that's
not the way to think, but that's the way it turned out.
But sweeping them at home was so impressive on our part,
and that's what gave you guys the tiebreaker, because you both ended with 101 games, right? Mm-hmm. 101 wins, so that's impressive.
And because they used to do a one game tiebreaker, now they just do the series.
Back in my day, they used to call that clutch. That was a very clutch move.
Ah, yes. I thought you were saying the one-game tiebreaker was called
the
clutch.
Like, no, the sweeping them at the end there.
that's the thing in a car is the clutch. And, you know, playoff baseball is awesome.
Yeah.
But
we got some interference here. The ESPN ads are starting to play. I hate those things. All right.
Why do they make noise?
Go ahead.
But I think, playoff baseball is awesome. And it's been kind of fun to see because we were in that hot division rivalry. Like, the last month has all been playoff baseball. Like,
yeah,
you know, it's been packed houses.
Yeah.
It's been...
We've been doing it since the beginning of September, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Since, you know, that Mets guy got up there and said the division's over.
It's back in June, man. It's like that first week of June.
Memorial Day weekend.
He said it's over. The Mets have won this division.
Yeah, because Labor Day is the one that happens at the beginning.
I mean, that's
of
a ridiculous
year.
Thing. That's obviously, he's clickbait. He's obviously just trying to get people to talk about what
but
he's talking about.
But honestly, it was right then was when we
got hot.
Like that night, the next day, we went on that 14 game winning streak.
It was magical. Magical.
And, you know, the Mets, winning over 100 games is a good season.
It is, but...
Like, and it's got to be tough. Now, I don't care, because they're terrible people. They picked the wrong team. But I feel for the fact that they had a great season and they didn't win the division. Now, they also were so obnoxious on social media.
Oh, absolutely.
Which makes it all the better that
we just
beat
them. Well, it's New Yorkers, man. If it's New Yorkers, it's the Mets.
They don't really have anything because the Mets have always been bad.
And they exploded. They exploded in the playoffs. They lost their series. They're done. They're out. They're gone.
But we haven't gotten to talk about them, so I'm getting all the pettiness out.
Yeah, please do. Please do.
And, you know, you could say that they imploded, but they were still winning at, like, a 60-something percent clip.
Yeah.
Which is solid in baseball.
It doesn't work if you don't win the playoffs.
The problem is, though, well, I'm just saying the division.
Yeah.
The problem was the Braves were winning at a 75 to like 80% rate, which is absolutely wild.
And so I also read that this is the first time since like 2003 that the Braves have won 100 games.
I could see that.
Yeah, I think that's what I read the other day.
Yeah, because, man, some of those early 2000s teams were so good.
We were talking, like, there was so much. It just seemed like if you didn't know the record, if you didn't know what the Braves were, and you just listen to people talk about them on TV or on the radio, you would think that they're, like, they're still, like, that underachieving team that is coming through a little early. But they're a good team. They're just one of the best teams in baseball.
Yeah. So, well, the other thing, like, this is – okay. We've just – can we mute the computer?
All right, go ahead. Sorry. ESPN wants you to know that they're there.
They are paying.
This podcast is brought to you by.
Soon we're cutting all this out.
Yeah, yeah. All right, go.
I forgot where I was going. Give me 1 second to get back there.
Yeah, yeah. Where were we?
Underachieving team.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, that's what I was saying. So that everyone talks about them like they're the underachieving team, they're the underdog, but they're one of the best teams in baseball.
So I think a lot of that also comes from the Dodgers are really doggone good.
The Dodgers that you beat last year.
Well, yeah, but this year they won 111 games.
I mean, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
that's really good, actually.
And, yeah, I mean, but now it's interesting because, like...
What's the record, like 116 by Seattle?
Probably.
At some point?
That sounds really right.
That sounds like the 2001 Seattle Seahawks. Not Seahawks. That would have been impressive if they won 116 games. The Mariners.
They probably have in their whole career or their whole franchise history. But, yeah, I think that's a lot of it is, we won 101 games. That's a fantastic season. But it's, you know, the Dodgers are still the team to beat. The Dodgers and the Padres are really hot.
Yeah.
This is going to be a good postseason. And, you know, the Braves are now, you know, we tied the series last night.
Right. So as of recording, we're 1-1 against the Philadelphia Phillies. Big rival, too.
It's funny that three teams at the NL East made it to the playoffs.
How do you feel? Is the Phillies where Bryce Harper landed?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so old rival there too as well.
He won't leave our division.
What do you? Maybe he'll come to play for the Braves.
I don't want him.
You don't want them? Oh,
I've hated him for so long.
You know, I was felt the same way about Terrell Owens until he showed up and run wearing the star, and then I was like, you know what? I kind of like that guy. So how do you feel? How do you feel about moving forward here? Let me ask you this first before we get to that. What's up with playing playoff baseball at 1 o'clock in the afternoon on a school day?
You know, it really is. If baseball wants to get more kids liking the game, right?
Yeah.
I don't think the best thing to do is put your defending world champions.
Yeah.
On at 1 o'clock every day.
Every day. I mean,
God had to come down and send a rain delay to give us a night game yesterday.
Are they encouraging the kids to skip school?
Now, I think there is
Or do they just not care about the kids?
Well, it's the TV revenue. It's all...
Nobody's watching TV in the middle of the day.
But anybody who is, they want them.
My goodness.
But they don't want to split the viewers for prime time.
That is As the World Turns, Guiding Light, General Hospital... The soap operas.
But they don't want to cut the prime time.
Like, right.
We did it last night. It was fine. I'm sure the numbers were great.
It's fine. Plus, also, people just watch their team. I don't think they flip back and forth and watch
it. No. Like, people who love baseball do, but most people just watch their team.
Right.
You're going to get the same numbers. You're probably going to get more.
Yeah.
But it's all about the TV marketing. And yeah. But it's like, if you want... If this was about baseball, and there's something fun,
the people will come, Ray.
About, I guess, like the kids, all flocking to the cool teacher who has a TV on,
yeah.
Like the Braves, like that might be kind of fun.
Yeah,
but that's still not like no. Let's play these games at night the way we're supposed to.
What so
I'm cool with a weekend day game.
Sure, no, that makes sense. That's great.
Although this Saturday. Georgia is kicking off an hour after the Braves' first pitch.
Oh, no. Who's Georgia playing this week?
I've been so wrapped up in Braves.
Your true fandom comes out, man. Well, let me ask you this. While you're looking up the Georgia football schedule because you don't remember your own team schedule.
If I wasn't in Vanderbilt.
Oh, well, that's not even a real game. So
yeah, but you only get so many of them.
So
you got to watch.
How do you feel about the Braves' chances moving forward?
Right. This series, I think we're a better team than than the Phillies.
Absolutely. I think you guys were better than them in game one, honestly. When I heard I heard on the radio that, what's the kid's name?
Dansby.
Dansby had struck out 4 times by the 5th inning. I was like, well, you guys are getting opportunities. You're just not.
Yes.
We had 4 at-bats before the 5th inning. I mean, come on.
No, I mean, we left bases loaded. Three or four times.
And you corrected that yesterday. I think maybe just the layoff to get a little rust. You get through it. Philadelphia should not be a problem. But then you're on to place the Dodgers or the Padres.
And that's going to be a really good series. I mean, I don't think it's – I mean, obviously, I think the Braves are going to win the World Series.
Obviously, you do. Let's just say I think this is our 31st episode maybe. And our 1-year anniversary, I think we started in October of last year.
Yeah.
So, and I'm pretty sure that we started and Braves kept winning.
Exactly.
So maybe we keep that going.
I mean, hey.
Happy anniversary, by the way.
Yeah, because it was right around the start of the playoffs. Because
that's right.
Our first episode ended with you saying anything else, and I said go Braves. Because we were starting the playoffs, but it's a weird memory I have.
I don't know. And then Georgia won the national championship.
It was good times.
What a great year.
I think that the NLDS is going to be a bigger challenge in the World Series.
Okay. Yeah, like, I agree with that. I think that was true last year, too.
The two best teams are in the National League.
I feel like that was true last year, too. And so,
well, I take that back. The Yankees are pretty doggone good.
I mean, the Yankees are good, but I think the Dodgers are better. I think the Dodgers are the best team.
Yeah.
And I think Atlanta matches up well with them. So we'll see what happens going forward.
It's going to be good baseball, and the winner is us.
So that's our big for today. Let's move on to our sad. And our sad has to do with the way that football has been officiated right now in the NFL with these atrocious roughing the passer penalties, including the one that was called against the Falcons on Tom Brady, Grady Jarrett.
It's like, what is he saying right now?
He went a textbook hit and tackle on Tom Brady, and he gets
I'm
flagged.
Not going to describe the tackle. I think at this point, if you like sports,
it looked
you've seen
gentle.
It
looked nice. It looked comforting.
It's one of the, like,
I wish people would hug me that way. I wish that I would receive that kind of love.
Obviously the favorite line of a fan in the stands whenever there's one of those is like, well, what's he supposed to do? You know, and it's like, okay.
Exactly.
Cool. Well, but in this scenario, it's like, really, and obviously, I think a lot of people are saying, well, like, oh, it lost us the game. It's like, well.
It lost you the opportunity to win the game.
Yes.
I'll tell you that for sure.
Let me see if we could score.
You shouldn't be in that position in the first place. You could say that. Obviously, you can say, well, we should have capitalized on other opportunities. That's fine.
We dropped 3 interceptions.
That would have given you an opportunity
yes.
to be in the game, to win the game. And it was taken from you. It was robbed from you.
And I think one thing I do worry about, just quick aside, is
snakes and quicksand.
Well, you shouldn't worry about quicksand. It's not real.
I know. I thought it was going to be a big thing when I was an adult. I used to worry about it all the time as a kid.
You've yet to see it. but I'm worried about Grady Jarrett, like, having reserves about how to tackle a quarterback.
I think you don't. I think these guys, generally speaking.
I would hope so, but I've seen that.
You've seen it? Because what I've seen is they don't care. If anything, they turn it up.
What's his name? Miles Garrett. I believe that's him.
Yeah, well,
like he doesn't know what to do when he gets to the quarterback right now.
But he also, as long as he doesn't take off his helmet and swing it at people,
he'll probably be okay.
We'll probably be okay.
But really, what I want is clear defined rules.
Yeah,
because when you look at the rule book,
I think we got that. Don't we have that?
No,
it's not clear and defined. There is a roughing the passer penalty in the book, right? It is defined as what?
But the last line of it says, if you're in doubt, throw the flag.
Oh, does it really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And
what do you think the ref was seeing there? Do you think this is a reaction to all the concussions, to Tua and all this other stuff that's happening?
I think so, and I think, and I'm not someone who thinks Brady's paying. I think that's an elementary
school.
Maybe
they felt bad for him because of other stuff that's going on in his life.
But I think that he knows how to work refs. I think that he knows how to complain and get them to watch the right stuff.
He goes in there, talks to them beforehand. He greases them up. They're all buddies. He plays poker with them on the weekends.
See, I don't believe that.
He has a Tuesday night game with all the refs.
Him and Ed Hockley.
That's right.
But I think I think that he knows how to work the refs.
And they might be worried about it. He's very old.
Yeah, but then don't play.
Well, you know, if you're going to be
treated like people's grandfather
out there, you might as well play.
That there clearly was something from the NFL saying to watch roughing the passer because of the backlash with Tua.
Yep.
Because that was egregious.
Yep. That was.
But, you know, what I want is consistency.
Yeah.
Because Mariota was tackled several times in an identical manner and didn't get the call. So is it just because it was Tom Brady? Is it because of the moment? Is it?
I do think you get a little Tom Brady, Michael Jordan kind of effect there. LeBron James, absolutely.
Yes. The best players always get that.
Yeah.
And they always will get that.
They've earned that to some degree.
I will say, LeBron, I understand it when he flops in the paint. He's 200-something pounds. Yeah. I get it. That's a whole other issue.
What is he, like 260?
Yeah.
Something like that. I mean, it's insane.
Hey, 880 kids, let's get back on track.
No, let's talk about NBA basketball now.
I'm excited about the start of the season.
I am too.
But I think it's a I want more consistency, and I want the NFL to say how exactly what Grady Jarrett should have done there.
Yeah.
Because when you look at the whole play, it was a beautiful concept by Dean Pease. Getting Grady around. And then, I mean, he's on his hip, and it's just like there's, like, if he lets him go, he can get up and throw.
Yeah.
And it's like either have a quick whistle with the quarterback and make it like the Pro Bowl where it's just wrap up on the quarterback.
Yeah. Which is not fun.
No. But, like, you know, either. But I think also if the quarterback is still trying to play tackle football, you have to be able to tackle him.
And I guess the thinking in the thinking in the ref's mind there is that there was an extra throw at the end there or something, right? I mean, that has to be
kind of what
thinking, but it wasn't even that. I mean, it wasn't egregious. Like,
is he just supposed to let go of him once he's on top of him?
I guess so. I don't know.
Like, there's nothing. Like, he's
like, maybe it was
Grady Jarrett's like almost 300 doggone pounds. Yeah, that's a lot of inertia. but then you had the other one. On Monday Night Football, that was, I don't think it was as egregious as, and obviously I recognize my own bias in that I think that the one that hurt the Falcons was worse.
Right, obviously. Atrocious.
Very. I was listening to it, and the radio announcers did not like it. I think it's funny how all of the coaches, because there's such a, like, you can't criticize the refs without getting fined.
Yeah.
Which I think is a bit ridiculous, but I do think it's funny to see them all dancing around it.
Do you think that this is something that the NFL can address and fix before next game?
I don't think
game?
They will.
You don't think they will? This is what they want. All right,
well,
they
I
want
think,
the controversy?
I think that they want the marquee players who are the quarterbacks
to be safe. I mean, this is all about protecting quarterbacks.
Well, but it's all about protecting
the league.
Who do people watch?
Yeah.
People are going to watch the Chiefs game because they want to see Patrick Mahomes do some Patrick Mahomes stuff.
Yeah. Mahomes stuff.
If he's hurt,
yeah,
he can't do Patrick Mahomes stuff.
That's right.
And people won't tune in.
That's right.
That's
exactly right.
And I think
we want to protect the quarterback so that we can
I think at the end of the season they're going to meet and they're going to define it a little better.
That'd be good.
Because I think the rule as it's written is very bad.
Maybe the quarterbacks just wear flags, you know? You just
honestly,
flag
like at this point, like that's – but, you know
– that's where we're headed anyway.
Like, but Josh Allen's a big dude.
Yeah.
Like, that's a running back.
Yeah.
Like
– yeah, it's like, you know –
and it's like you have to hit him hard. Like,
yeah.
You can't just kind of wrap up. Like, Josh Allen will run through that. Cam Newton, you're not.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and that's another basketball analogy. You know, it's like the whole Shaq thing where Shaq is getting fouled all the time. You know, if you called every time somebody hit Shaq, he would always be at the free throw line. He'd never score any points. But like, you have to let him get beat up.
That's the birth of Hack a Shaq.
Hack a Shaq, yeah. Maybe it's Hack a quarterback now.
But I have seen some stuff on social media that's like, you know, because the Bucks come to Atlanta at the end of the season. It's like, let's just show them roughing the passer.
right there before the playoffs.
If they're going to call it,
yeah,
let's just earn it.
I mean, honestly, and there have been some people who've had that mentality in the past.
They're going to throw the flag anyway. Like,
might as well. Let's go.
Now, the one that's always I've always thought was weird was the hands to the face area of the quarterback.
Yeah.
Because, like, there was one where it was a guy was, like, trying to get through a block and was trying to bat at the ball and hit the quarterback, and they threw it. It's like, that. It's clear what he was trying to do.
Right.
It's one of the, like, intent needs to be judged on these things. And you, well, and you can't.
That's hard to do in a moment. I will say, though, that I think hitting the face mask, hitting the helmet, whatever, like, you get in trouble for that kind of stuff. But I think unless you grab on, I think it should be allowed. That's what the face mask is there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the whole point.
Yes.
Like, what is this? What kind of game are we playing here?
Now, but then the other side of that is I don't want Myles Garrett just flinging just his massive arms just at, you know, Marcus Mariota's head.
Well, sometimes that's what the price you pay, man.
But, you know, it is a contact sport.
Yeah.
And I'm not someone who thinks that, you know, football's only fun if people are getting lit up all the time.
So.
But I there's got to be a middle ground here.
I want to tack on to our sad today, the discussion about what happened to Tua last week
Yes, good call.
And just talk a little bit of how I think that what happened with Tua and some of the other things that happened in the league the past couple weeks, we're getting dangerously close to a place where football is going to have to radically change in order to even be on the air or be allowed to be played. Don't you see? I mean, aren't we getting to a place where
this is
getting scary, I think.
It's an interesting topic. Because I deal with it a lot, being a youth football coach.
Yeah.
So I think, and keep in mind, I'm not a neurologist.
Right.
But I think where concussions are a lot worse is when you get another one while you have one.
Exactly, yeah.
And so I think the fact that there are a lot of people out for concussions it's a good thing in that we're catching it.
Right.
Now,
and the concussions are down. I will say they have been down by quite a bit.
And I think a lot of it is with the way that we have been taught in the old school to play.
Yeah.
Of, you know, your helmet is a weapon.
Right.
And I'm a big proponent of, like, taking the head out of tackling, you know, more rugby-style tackling.
Do you have a lot of conversations with parents about stuff like this? Does that come up a lot?
Sometimes, yeah. Usually just say, your kid's dumb anyway, it doesn't matter. No, I'm just kidding. I'm, of course, kidding. It definitely, I've had the conversation. And I think, for the most part, football is more safe than it's, because people see the NFL and they think, oh well, that's how hard they're gonna hit when they're
right
seven.
Which is not the case
when they're seven. They're just like little puppies playing,
right?
But I digress. I'm very interested in the Tua situation, because like, how did he get cleared? I don't think doctors are in this to like hurt the player.
Exactly.
And so there had
and
to
the
be
the doctors are independent, aren't they? Aren't they independent of the
so they have a team doctor.
Yeah.
And
the guy that cleared Tua was fired by the NFL, though.
By the NFLPA.
Okay.
So I think the Players Association has like another doctor.
Okay.
It's typical of the PA and the NFL not being on the same page.
Yeah.
But it's like, so concussions, there's a baseline test.
Right.
And it's a pretty hard test. We've had several kids without concussions struggle to pass it. But it's like they judge the grade of your concussion, I believe, by how you do on the baseline test afterwards.
Okay.
And now there are, like, you know, whenever you see a player go into a tent for questioning, like, they sometimes they come back in. It's like, all right, they deemed he's fine.
Right.
But how Tua got back is,
I mean, he was stumbling on the field. Like, he shouldn't have ever been allowed back.
No. That's one of those, like, sometimes as a coach, you have to kind of save the player from themselves.
Right.
Take their helmet.
Yeah.
And also, I think, and I really like that coach. I think hopefully this is a learning experience for him.
Right.
I'd be interested to see, like, how Tua's doing.
Yeah.
I did think that story of him riding back on the plane with the head coach, and they watched MacGruber on Tua's phone, which is such a random movie.
I know, right? Oh, that's funny.
But I think we can't have that happening.
You can't have, and if it happens again, we're in trouble. I was just saying, like, do you think we're in a situation where somebody gets hit in the head, and they are automatically out for the rest of the game, or if they're then deemed to have a concussion, that they have to sit out 5 weeks?
No.
You don't think there's a situation where we have to standardize, they have to walk away for a little while?
The problem with concussions is it's not like on the field you know, that's a broken leg. I can see his leg is broken.
Right. Concussions work in gradations.
And you have to, yes, but you have to go by what the player's telling you.
Right.
Like, and it's hard, like.
Well, and that's where we learned maybe you can't do that.
But I don't want people who don't have a concussion having to sit out for.
You don't, but you also don't want to have a situation where a player dies on the field.
I agree, and I don't think
so. Which one of those is worse?
Here's like I don't think it's one or the other.
Okay, all right. All right.
I think we need to, but keep in mind, I'm also not a doctor.
Right. So maybe you should look into that, Edward.
No, no, I shouldn't. But I definitely think that they need. Because you have to diagnose if you think he has a concussion in a very short span of time.
Yeah.
Because if he doesn't, then he needs to get back in the game.
Yeah.
Football players want to play football.
Right. Especially when it's one of your big players.
Yes. And in general, it's if you're in doubt, sit him.
Right. Right.
Like, and if it's a question, sit him, and then we'll figure it out later. But it's, and I don't think that Tua is the norm.
Yeah, no, obviously, this hasn't happened, not like to this level in a long time.
And, you know, if you're the NFL, you got to be, like, when they saw he was playing, which I know it's not the NFL's call, if he plays or not.
I figured Goodell could be on the phone, though, and be like, hey, there are bigger things at stake than you winning a game.
Well, yeah, but, like, the NFL doesn't set the starting lineups.
No, I know.
But there can be pressure, you know, they have to be like, all right, just don't let him get hurt. Just don't. And then once that happened, like, oh, God.
Yeah, I mean, that was scary. It was scary.
The finger seizing up was hard to see.
Yeah.
But, you know, the main my main takeaway is it is a contact sport.
Yeah.
Injuries happen, and that one is rare.
Yeah.
Like, most concussions are mild, and everybody in the world has probably had a mild concussion and didn't know about it.
Oh, absolutely. I remember I got a concussion because I tried to sled down a hill one time on a trash can. On a trash can lid.
Was this like a...
this is a college, and I was doing great, and I've been about three quarters of the way down the hill. It flipped out from me, and it hit my head. And
I'm having flashbacks of Christmas Vacation.
I had to go to the hospital. It was kind of like that, yeah.
A new land speed record.
I guess the reason why I brought it up is I'm curious as to whether or not we're living in a time when people in general, and then people who have power in particular, are going to be tired of watching this kind of violence and this kind of hurting for entertainment purposes. Like, that's the whole thing, right?
So that is a good question. Football, when you look at the history of it, I mean, Teddy Roosevelt had to, like, step in to change the rules of football because, like, 16 guys died.
And if Teddy Roosevelt's like, this is too rough.
But that's I'm saying that's how long – I believe it was Teddy Roosevelt. That's how long ago. Like,
I mean,
because,
that's insane.
But back then, though, like
– that's when they had, like, leather helmets or no helmets at all.
But you could drag a running back. Like, if you're an offensive lineman, you can drag your running back.
So things have gotten better.
And, yes. And so – but I think there needs to be – probably some mild changes, but I think the main one is it's got to be in the recognition of it, which in the NFL has more money than God. I'm sure they're on it.
Yeah, yeah.
And the way that we teach tackling, and I think that
kind of filters its way up.
Yes,
right?
And I think you're going. The reason you're kind of starting to see less is these guys are the ones who, you know, when they were 10,
mm-hmm.
were learning how to tackle this
That's
way.
Right. That's right.
But we need to make it more ubiquitous.
And yet they're still roughing the passer.
Roughing the passer is a whole different issue. But they need to make it more ubiquitous in that, like, a lot of youth leagues need to get on board with this. And I think that needs to come. And the NFL did. Sorry, this is a topic I've talked a lot about.
No, I know. This is good.
The NFL, they put out a style of tackling called what they call the heads-up method.
Yeah.
Which it's a great concept. It's just not an effective way to tackle. So it's like, this is dumb. No one taught it because it was like this. This is not an effective way to
but
bring
it was
somebody
safer,
down.
Apparently.
Sure, it's safer, but...
But it's not football.
You're getting run over for 5 extra yards.
I guess that's the whole point of that being that you're not using the head as a weapon.
It was,
you're not using
it
as
like
a weapon.
You would square everybody up and then
just
drop
sumo
down.
Sumo wrestle them
basically,
to the ground?
Basically, there's a lot of sumo, but I think what, oddly enough, Dan Quinn and Pete Carroll kind of innovated it, and it's kind of, I call it the Seahawk method of tackling.
Yeah.
And it's more rugby inspired.
Okay.
And I think that is the style that we need to kind of get taught more.
What do you think about just including slide tackles into the NFL?
You know, I wouldn't
be
surprised.
A lot of
to
torn
see,
ACLs and stuff, but your head's be fine.
I wouldn't be surprised to see a cornerback try it.
I saw somebody try it on that the kicker.
You know, if you're a kicker, you might as well, like, especially if you're like a soccer player.
Let's talk about something fun.
Yes.
All right. Let's move away from the sad and get to our fun today. And the fun today, ironically, I guess, or not ironically, but surprisingly, involves the Dallas Cowboys, who have shocked me.
Y'all have a quarterback controversy.
We have a quarterback controversy, and it's I think ironic in the sense that this is exactly what happened to my boy Tony Romo when Dak came in.
Oddly enough, what I would say is that Cooper Rush has not looked as good as Dak did as a rookie.
So here's what I want to say. Shut your face. All right.
If we're going to you have to also look at Dak
Cooper,
logically.
Let me just look at Dak. Let me look at Dak the way he played through most of the first game of the season. It was garbage. I don't know if you watched the game or not. It was on national television, so maybe a lot of people.
I'm forced to watch every doggone game the stupid Cowboys play.
Good. Good. So he was clearly garbage. I mean, he was trash. We lost that game because of Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
All right. So Cooper Rush comes in, and for the next last four games, we're 4-1. I mean, we 4-0 in the last four games.
I agree.
Now our offense is anemic, and Cooper Rush is not explosive. But here's what he does. He puts the ball where it's supposed to go, and that is something new and fresh for the Cowboys. Something we haven't had since Tony Romo, and I love it. And even though he can't like do the things that Dak can do sometimes, at least the ball goes where it's supposed to go. So when your wide receivers run the route, the ball lands in the vicinity of the receiver. And I think I could grow to love something like that.
Cooper Rush last game was
102.
10 for 16 yards. 10 for 16 for 102 passing
yards. 102 yards. 62% completion percentage.
I think the Cowboys are going to be carried by the run game and defense.
Yes. Well, the run game is garbage, too. Let me talk about the downfall of Ezekiel Elliott.
But Goddard, what's his name?
Pollard.
Yes.
Pollard's good. If they would start Pollard, that'd be great.
You don't need that great of a run game if your defense is that good.
I think
thinking that they're going to sit a guy who's making $20 million.
No, obviously they're not. And here's the thing. I think when Dak gets healthy, when he actually can grip a ball, and put in some work with throwing it, because, I mean, again, he hasn't thrown a ball in 5 weeks.
Yeah.
And he wasn't good before he did it. So
did he play in the preseason?
No, I don't think he played any preseason game.
I think that's kind of an issue that we're seeing a lot of these days.
The issue –
quarterbacks who don't play in the preseason.
The issue is that we are playing the Eagles on Sunday night.
That's going to be a game I'm sure is going to be Sunday night football.
That is Sunday night football. That is Cowboys at Eagles. Eagles are 5-0, number one in the division. They look hot.
Jalen Hurts, baby.
Jalen Hurts turns out can play football, which is exactly what I said at the beginning of the season. If Jalen Hurts can play football, the Eagles are going to be scary. And so we're going to have to go in there with our defense, which is really good. Our defense is really good.
And defense usually travels.
Yep.
That's going to be a really good game.
The question is, can we score any points? I don't even know. But Cooper's going to play. It sounds like Cooper's going to be our starter.
Dak cleared?
Dak is practicing, but it doesn't look like he's going to play on Sunday night.
That's one thing that is good. Like, if Cooper Rush came in and looked bad, they would force Dak back out there.
Yeah.
Before he's ready.
That's
and
right.
Then we have
right now we kind of got a little bit of leeway here.
So here's kind of how I would judge it. If both guys were released tomorrow, who gets picked up?
Well, Dak gets picked up, and whoever picks him up loses.
But I think Dak is the better quarterback.
Can you tell I don't like this guy?
Oh, I've known, but like you have to have a rational.
Dak is a more explosive quarterback. He's gonna get you bigger plays. He's gonna be a less consistent quarterback. I would say.
Yes.
And I think that with the defense and Pollard at running back, you get it. All you need is a game manager. You don't need somebody who's gonna explode.
I agree with that.
Right?
Yeah.
We haven't allowed anybody to score more than 19 points against us this entire year, which is awesome. I think that's gonna change on Sunday night because they're gonna have the ball a lot more. And Jalen Hurts is a problem, and their wide receiving group is amazing. So,
and they have
how we match up
Jordan Davis on defense.
That's right. Go Dogs. So this is gonna be. I think we're gonna lose this game. Just looking at the way it is, but I do think we'd have a better chance of winning with our boy
I would
Cooper
be,
Rush in there.
I'd be interested to see, a game where Dak plays the first half, Cooper plays the second half. I think that's how you
compare it. Yeah.
Yeah. But like, I don't think, and you know, a game manager can work in the NFL if you have the right team around it.
Yeah, and I think we do right now.
And I think the playing quarterback for the Cowboys is right now is pretty easy.
And you got to think about this. Think about the fact that he also, Cooper Rush, hasn't had any of the weapons. You know, we got rid of Amari. I'm tired of talking about that, but we got rid of Amari. Gallup has been out. James Washington was out. He's playing with like third and fourth string. And CeeDee Lamb's out there, but he's double covered. So, you know,
that's tough.
All of these weapons are starting to come back now, though.
Mm-hmm.
So on Sunday night, he'll have Gallup. I think he might even have Washington. Mm. And you got CeeDee Lamb, and you got, you know, his boy Noah Brown that he was on practice squad with, so he's got a good connection with. Dalton Schultz, I think, is coming back as well. So, I mean, like, it's a big day.
I think it's going to be a fun quarterback controversy, but it is so reminiscent.
But, it's not really, though.
Dak's
the starter.
Once again, money talks.
Money talks.
You're paying one guy $20 million.
Everyone in that, the Cowboys are so delusional. Particularly in the upper management and the ownership, that they're all sitting there thinking, man, if we're winning right now with Cooper Rush, just think about what's going to happen when old Dak comes back. We're going to run this league over. What they're thinking.
I think that's part of the problem when you have a czar. You know, like.
He just turned 80 today, I think, by the way.
Him and Biden, that same age. Because Biden's birthday's coming
up. That's scary.
That's interesting.
That makes a lot of sense, though, actually.
It's not what this podcast is about.
Because you know Jerry Jones is going to be like, why aren't we playing Troy and Emmett and Michael? Why aren't they out on the field?
This
and
is all going to cut out.
No, it's not. Because they're going to have to be like, Jerry, that was 30 years ago. Go back to the booth, take a nap, and be quiet.
I wonder what Jerry Jones does during
the game. He eats cheeseburgers.
Like, there's cameras on him a lot.
Yeah.
But how often is he actually sitting in that booth?
That's a great question. You know, every time they show the booth, he's there.
Well, I'm sure there's
that's because he's there.
The stadium's called Jerry World.
Jerry World, yeah. Let's go.
Let's
watch the game together on Sunday night.
I'm down.
I may have dinner plans, but after dinner.
Well.
It doesn't start till 8:30, so.
Oh, yeah, I'm definitely down then.
Let's do it.
It's good to have two decent quarterbacks.
Yes.
Because I'm stuck with Marcus Mariota. So I wanted to bring up last.
Yeah, go. Let me give you a minute to talk about this because
when we kind of have a quarterback controversy.
I thought Mariota was going to have the best year of his career this year, and I don't think he's not been terrible.
The Falcons have been.
You guys have been a lot better than people thought.
A lot better,
but
different than I thought we were going to be.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, we can run the ball.
Do you want Mariota to take a seat and let your new kid get in there? Or are you wanting to? Because you have it. I mean, you're in the muck right now.
Every game has been decided by one score.
Yeah.
But when you look at the games that we lost, and this weekend, if Mariota plays better in the first half.
Yeah.
And if we can complete passes in the first half.
Yeah.
We could win. If he doesn't fumble against the Saints, we could win.
Have you thought about calling Matt Schaub? I bet he'd still play.
We drafted him. But I think soon we got to give the young guy – we got to see what we got with
him. You got to. But as long as you feel like you may actually make a run of the playoffs, that's what you're going to be doing.
Yes. And, obviously the guy who gives us the best chance is who needs to be playing. And Mariota has been, I'm sure, great for the development of Desmond Ridder.
Yeah.
But it comes down to – do we need to draft another quarterback, or is Desmond Ridder our quarterback of the future? And I think in general, it takes quarterbacks a year.
Yeah,
like they need a year behind a veteran. We've seen it more recently where a quarterback comes in as a rookie and is great, but that's not the norm.
That is not the norm.
The college game and the pro game are vastly different.
What you want is someone like Aaron Rodgers to sit 4 years behind Brett Favre.
You have to think that's definitely
part of it.
That helped him.
Yeah, absolutely.
And 4 years of taking very little hits.
So I guess Jordan Love is set for now.
We'll see what happens. I think you're playing with two different toys there. But he got to watch, and Brett Favre turns out a terrible person.
Well, it turns out he's sketchy. I don't know how terrible he is, but he's sketchy.
I mean, he's stealing money from the
he
welfare.
He didn't steal it. He's just asking the other people to steal it for him.
That doesn't help your case. Brett Favre is clearly a monster.
Oh, Brett, what are you doing, man? Come on.
I just remember the player and not necessarily the man, because he's a great player. Oh, I love the way he played. But I think soon we gotta start seeing Desmond.
Yeah. All right.
But it's, you know, we'll see what happens in Mariota.
All right, man. Well, thanks for joining me today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thanks, guys, out there for listening, and we'll see you next week.